Today's message, I think, is important for us. As I was preparing this week and thinking about it last night and praying and then this morning, this message, this passage today, I think is significantly relevant for our lives. Now, the most people in this room are Christians. Most of you are. I wouldn't say everybody is, but most of you are. If you've been here for a while, you recognize that often I put a high value, we as a congregation put a high value on reading the Word. So today's passage is aimed towards Christians, and James is helping us to have a posture, okay? A posture is a stance or a attitude towards the Word that helps it impact us. So James is a very practical guy, and it's been said that this book in the New Testament is very practical. It is very practical, and is deeply theological, where you can trace all of these verses primarily to the teachings of Jesus, and it's been emphasized in Paul and other places and in the Old Testament. James is trying to help the church and trying to help this church, church collectively, but we individually as believers, to have the Word or put our faith into action. This is how we are to think about our lives, and therefore this is how we are to live our faith faithfully. And he gives us lots of practical ways to do that, because he understands that hearing the Word and living the Word are two different things. Now, granted, we first have to hear it, okay? We need to hear preaching. We need to read the Word for ourselves. We need to sing those songs. But if all that it does is make us smarter but doesn't transform us to be more like Christ, we have a problem. Jesus' harshest words were always for a group of religious people. Do you recognize that? In the New Testament, when we read about what he said, his harshest words were for a group of people who were religious experts. They were the Pharisees. They were the church leaders, actually. Sadducees, the scribes of the law, who were professional religious people. He was just pounding them all of the time for how they turned what was good into something that was bad. What was meant for the transformation of people's hearts and a community of people into a religious way of being right and perhaps looking down at other people. The unfortunate reality is we still have Pharisees today. And I know it's that other person down your pew. I know. I was like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. Right? I'm talking about the church. The question is, and we have to be careful, we have to be careful in hearing the Word but not putting it into practice. We have to be careful about how we interact with God's Word, how we respond to God's Word. Because the sad truth is, it's possible to be surrounded by Scripture. It's possible to be exposed to preaching and familiar with Christian language and still remained largely unchanged. That's frightening. The question that James is addressing from our passage today is not, do you believe the Word of God? The question he is looking to answer is, what happens to God's Word after you hear it? How do you hear it? What do you hear? How do you interact? These are important questions. James, the author of this letter, knows that faith can become verbal without becoming vital, right? Something we just say, but not a life that is lived. And he knows that actual religious exposure can actually harden a person if that hearing never is translated into being and doing. This is what he is going after, and we need to hear this message because it is a very serious thing. And the prayer this morning, we prayed in our 9 o'clock prayer meeting. I've been praying this week, last night, this morning, that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear. That we, in this Bible-believing, Bible-reading, Bible-quoting church, would have the Word of God completely enmeshed in the fabric of our being. So take note today. And if you brought your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. We are going to be looking, starting with verse 19, just this section, down to the end of the chapter 27. It's in page 1043, by the way, 1043 right in front of you. And James walks us through a moment that is simple, but it's searching. He addresses how we receive God's word. Then in this passage, he confronts how we, or whether we, respond. So how we receive, how we respond to God's word. And finally, he wants to show us that how the word must reshape everyday life if our faith is real. So it's about receiving, it's about responding, it's about reflecting, it's about living these things. Our overarching theme for this book is this: real faith doesn't just believe the truth, it lives the truth. Real faith. And James is pointing us and pleading with us and teaching us the practicality of a lived faith. This is where this passage brings us today. And if you've been around the Bible for a long time, this is especially relevant to us. It's relevant to all of us if we're new in the faith, saying, how am I to interact with Scripture, or that we've been around it for a long time. So this is the first thing I want us to consider this morning, that we would receive the Word with a teachable heart. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple verses. We're going to pause. Three main points today, three main sections with some subsections. So let's consider this. James chapter 1, starting with verse 19. James continues in this letter, "My dear brothers, my dear sisters." You can hear his pastoral love and affection for those who are hearing. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, pay attention to this. Take special note." Take out your highlighter, underline this, consider. And this is what he says. "Everyone should, number one, be quick to listen. Second, slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So we're looking for righteousness that God desires. "So therefore, because of these things, hey, get rid of, take off the moral filth," we'll talk about this in just a bit, "and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Okay, a lot of stuff there. So, our typical application of the passage about being slow to speak, okay, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, our typical application is relationally, right? With each other. Don't you think that way, right? And that application in our relationships to other people is an acceptable application. It is better to be quick to listen, right? Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. That helps us in communicating and connecting with one another. And those are important things. But that's not James's primary concern in this passage. As you read those instructions, you see that where he's going with it, that this anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires, and therefore we got to get rid of the stuff that inhibits. This is where he is in verse 21, I think, 21, that inhibits the word of God being implanted. Now, you like this language, in the soil of our soul. So ultimately, what he is saying is that this posture, this position of interacting relationally with God's word, okay, with God's word, puts us in danger of not hearing it, not receiving it, not allowing it, welcoming it to transform us. This is where James is bringing us. This is what we must consider. And you know that I regularly challenge us to read the Bible. We can say amen to that, okay? That's the starting point. So this is not about, hey, you should read the Bible. We think, okay, we should do this. This is how we read the Bible, okay? I know people personally that know a lot about the Bible but don't believe it, don't live it. I went to school with people that over time they think, they put themselves above the word versus putting the word above them, that they criticize it and pick it apart, and they have a head full of knowledge but a life full of dead man's bones, right? We have to ask ourselves, when we approach God's word, what, and this is an academic term, but it's a good one, what is our posture? What is our way of interacting with it? James is saying, when you come to God and his very word, by the way, it's a miracle that we have these things. It's a gift that we can read these things. It's a gift that you can read and you can hear and you can understand, and you have a Bible in a language that you know. Not every place in the world has this, and we have the privilege of this. James is saying, when you are approaching this word, when you sit down to read it, what's your attitude? What's your heart position? How are you approaching it? Be quick to listen. Now, I hate to say this, but oftentimes in the church, people only go to the Bible when they're trying to prove a point or when they need something, right? Oh, yeah, well, I know what that Bible says. Let me find out where that is. Hey, pastor, where's the verse that talks about? Now we Google it, whatever you use these days, right? Or we go to it, well, I really need something. I really need a passage of Scripture. Okay, understand these things do have some merit. However, James is saying, when we come towards the word, come looking to learn, looking to hear, not looking to prove something that you already believe or you want to make sure that it's true or you want it to be true. Read it by hearing. This is the position, or again, the posture. And it's a prayer. We need the Holy Spirit's help to do this, right? Because normally we want to speak, right? We got something to say. We want God to hear us. And often in prayer, we do that. Okay? And God invites us to speak to him. It's an invitation. However, we have a responsibility and an opportunity and an obligation to listen first. Have you ever interacted with the Word of God that way? You come to it and say, God, what are you saying to me? Doing a lot of study on prayer. I've come to the conclusion that reading the Bible is a form of prayer when we approach it with ears that want to hear what God is saying. Okay. Prayer is just not a one-way communication. It is to be a way in which we both speak and we both hear. Now, the primary way we do this is through the Word, okay? Through the Word, like passages that we talked about, that we can say, God, like Samuel, here I am, your servant is listening. Now, I've read the Bible through many, many times, right? Sometimes I'm in a good mental place, emotional place, spiritual place. Those times are golden, and I have to often put myself there. Because typically, I'm thinking about what's going on today, right? Or I'm tired, or I got to get to the office, or all of those things that we all struggle with. And some days, I just rifle through, right? Ching, done, gone, right? Now, if you eat fast food, doesn't mean you don't get nourished, but it's not the best, right? Not saying that that makes no impact, but sometimes makes very little. Why? Because I'm not in a position or a posture to listen, right? Or I have something in my mind that I want God to speak to, and if he doesn't, like, whatever. Or, hey, I'm going to spend a lot more time in prayer, and often people spend more time in prayer because we think we're the center of the universe versus God being the center of the universe. Hello, right? James is saying, in order for the Word to impact us, we must start with ears that hear. Remember when Jesus preached and the people didn't hear him, right? And he said, why? Well, because not everyone hears. Just because you listen doesn't mean that you're hearing. God, help us. And it takes humility to do that. It takes God. And this is how I pray, and this is what I want to encourage you to pray, okay? I did it just this morning. God, I got a lot of things on my mind today. And before I talk about any of that, God, I want to hear you today. Will you give me, I didn't know what I was going to read. Read a passage about Joseph, which impacted me. Read a passage about Jesus praying, which impacted me. Read a psalm that impacted me. Why did it impact me? Not because David's a spiritual person. David recognizes he needs God's help. God, help me to hear you today. God, help me to see this passage today. God, and we're just going to get to it, okay? God, help me to see clearly myself today. Help me to see you today. This is a posture. We're slow, quick to listen, slow to speak. Wait, I don't know about that. Hey, I'm not sure about that. Or we just zip over it. Or slow to become angry. Have you ever been angry at something you read in the Bible? None of you have because you're super spiritual. I've been puzzled for sure. I'm like, why that? I've been, especially when I read the end of Job, the first time I read that, it's like, what? I wanted a better answer. Then I thought about it for a while. Like, ah, okay. I see you. I get you. I've run into people who are angry at the Word, don't like it. I was at a church when I was on break. I was not in Rockford. And I listened to the preacher, and they were putting themselves above the Word. They were like, Paul didn't really think that. He didn't really mean that. She said these words, shame on you, Paul, from the pulpit. And there were hundreds of people there. I was mad. I was more actually sad than I was mad. Sad. Number one, this woman has to give an account to God. We'll get to that in James. I was sad for every person who heard it. And because it was said from a pulpit, believed it. We have to understand that God's word is authoritative. Your and my opinion is secondary. This is the posture. If you're going to benefit, or you're going to get the most benefit from Scripture, quick to listen, slow to speak. The right response is, speak to me, let me hear. Slow to become angry. Let me consider these passages, especially passages that we don't like. There's plenty of passages I don't like, but I know it's good for me. I know it's right. I don't try to change the passage to conform to my lifestyle. I look to conform my life to conform to the passage. You understand that? Okay. We are, the church is, people of the word. That's why, again, I say, hey, read this thing. That's why I encourage this, because I know it's the best thing for you. But when you do it, have a posture of listening first, learning first, submitting first, hearing first, before we say anything, right? And before we respond in whatever way, I don't think so, boom, right? And there are plenty of liberal churches that the people do that, or they twist it, okay? And we try to get it right. Do I always get it right? I don't. But we are aiming to do that. I'm aiming to do that. We study, we look, we learn, we listen. And here's the most important thing. We submit. Ultimately, God works in it to conform us into the image of His Son. Verse 21, He says, okay, know what impedes the word from getting into our heart? The moral filth and the evil that is so pervasive or prevalent around us. The actual Greek word is here, it talks about, like, we have garments on. This is stuff that gets on us from the world, right? The world is a filthy place in some regards, right? Dirty, right? Our world right now is heavy, right? I look at the news, as you do. It's hard. It's difficult. And it's pervasive or prevalent. And he says, hey, this is, he's real. This, we live in this world, right? Sometimes it gets on us. But if it becomes part of who we are versus the fabric of our clothing, if it becomes a part of the fabric of our heart, it becomes like a shell that when we interact with the Word of God, it often is talked about like being a seed. It doesn't penetrate us because it just bounces off because we've gotten hardened by the sin that's out there that sometimes gets to be the sin that is in here. James says, hey, listen, right? Take this stuff, get it off, right? God, I saw this and this week, and my heart is troubled by that and that. Or God, I'm struggling with whatever, right? Sometimes it acts like a shield that we don't or can't or won't receive the truth. I don't want to read about that. I heard a quote somewhere about the Bible saying this, this word, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Right? And it's true. I know the story of my own father that this is true. I know the story of friends that I went to Bible school with. I know the story of this community that at one point they knew the word or they heard the word. It just goes on the shelf because they don't want to hear that stuff. It's easier to turn on something else that appeases the flesh or isn't so, illuminating. We don't want to see that. That's our flesh. Get rid of those things. Take it off. God, help me. And to humbly, that's where I say receive the word with a humble or a teachable heart. Accept the word planted in you. This is an agricultural picture, right? We're getting into us. And then dependent upon the quality of the soil, depends upon how thriving or how fruitful that seed will be. Do you understand that? Jesus talked about this, right? The word or a seed has power, okay, regardless, because in it there is power inherent. But that power is only activated if it is placed in a place in which it can thrive, grow, become, be, here's the word, fruitful. Thank you, Galatians, right? The fruitfulness is not conditional by the power of the seed, but by the receptivity of the soil. Does that make sense, right? And so if you want God's word to bear fruit, transform you, work in you, we have to humbly receive it. God, whatever you want to say to me, I want it to impact me, right? Impact me. Impact me. And God, help the cares of the world and help the sinfulness of my own heart and help me to make space for this so I can reflect upon it and meditate on it and consider it and then have it be seen in how I live, what I say, how I treat others. Humbly accept the word planted in you, grows over time, which can save you. This is the translation, actually, literally means which can bring you to salvation. Okay? Jesus ultimately saves you, but the word talks about Jesus, right? Living and active. And Jesus is the living word that saves us, leads us, keeps us, informs us, shapes us to be more and more like Christ. Lead us there. Help us. Thank you, James. This passage ultimately is talking about how we receive the word. Granted, it does help us in our relationships with one another, but primarily it is to help us with our relationship with the word. So when you come to it tomorrow morning, this afternoon, pray, God, give me, put yourself perhaps in a physical posture of saying, read me as I read it. Help me to see you, and you will see the word come alive in you like it has never done so before. I tell you this. Go and do it. I've lived these things. This helps us and speaks more about our obedience and also our attentiveness. Okay, that's enough for that. I'm going to move to the next one. First, receive the word with a teachable heart. I laugh because I looked at the time. Second, respond to the word with obedient faith. Okay, so first, receive the word with a humble heart or a teachable heart. Second, respond to the word with obedient faith. This is verses 22 to 25. Here are the famous verses. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Huh? Do what it says. All right. Now, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, great phrase, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. How? In what we, they, you, I, do. Right. Powerful. Do not merely listen to the word. Merely. These are good church folks, right? Sitting in pews, reading the word. Do not merely just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Again, James is naming a uniquely religious danger. Self-deception, right? You look at it like, yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I got that. I got that. I got that. My husband don't got that. My neighbors over there, they surely don't do that. The word is to act like a mirror. Okay, you guys got to understand this? Mirror. Often we want the word to be a window that we look through it to other people versus seeing ourselves in it. You hearing me? Mirror. Now you notice, did you notice we put a mirror out there? You guys didn't notice, did you? No, I wasn't looking at myself. There's a mirror out there. When you walk out, you'll see a very large mirror. What I wanted to do is sit out there the whole time. What I really wanted to do is put a camera behind it and then film people looking at themselves in the mirror. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. That would be fun. Mirror, right? And James is saying, hey, the word is like a mirror, right? That what it does, it reflects the truth to us. Now, we immediately say, well, it's like a mirror, and you see your hair's out of place, or you got a little mustard on your beard, or whatever, however you eat. You're supposed to, like, you know, do something about it, right? Fix that up, you know, get that off, you know, whatever you need to do, whatever's happening, okay? It tells us the truth, right? That's what mirrors do, right? And so James is saying, hey, the Bible's like that. It's like a mirror, right? To tell us the truth about reality and primarily about ourselves, right? Not just the flaws. And some of you fixate on your flaws all the time. Stop it. You're beautiful, right? Well, I wish, okay. It helps us, yes, notice some things that might get on us, but also reflects God's beauty in us and through us, right? Now hear me that. Some of you need to hear that. Some of you are bent to only see what's bad about yourself. God sees you for the totality of who you are and who he is. Hear me, right? He sees you, he sees Christ. He sees Christ. Now we're getting conformed more in that image, and yes, it is a process, and yes, we have responsibility. God gives us his word, reflects reality, and we have a responsibility to act according to it. The blessing is not in the knowing, the blessing is in the doing, right? I put an illustration in your notes, right? Imagine going to the doctor, right? Which some people do. They go to the doctor. They tell the doctor what the deal is. The doctor diagnoses it and says, okay, you need to do your physical therapy, which I lack to do sometimes, and you need to take this, that, and do these things. Now, what if that patient went, I agree, doctor, that's amazing, and they go out the door and never change anything or never take their medicine, right? Are they blessed by that knowledge? No. The blessing comes in the application. This is where change occurs. This is where health comes back. This is where strength comes back in. Right? Same is true with the Word of God, right? It's not just in the hearing. Glad you're here. Right? But how are you hearing? How are you interacting? What are you doing? Is it, oh, that was good, Pastor? Put it on the shelf, come back next week. Put it on the shelf, come back next week. Put it on the shelf. It's like, that's good for them people, these people, these people. And it never gets into action. That's a problem, right? James continues, by the way, and he's continually looking into the word. James continues to say, hey, let me give you two examples of what's happening when we interact with the Word. Number one, your speech should reflect what is in your heart, right? You remember this? I'm moving quick, and I'm sorry, okay? Something more I need to camp on? Oh, maybe one thing, okay? Responding to the Word with obedient faith. By the way, when you get your little challenge card, you're going to get a little mirror. It might be a really good idea to take this off of here or ask Sue for some more of these and take this thing and put it in the front of your Bible. Just put it on the front as a reminder. This is a mirror, okay? Slow down, take a deep look, okay? Interact with what is there, the goodness and glory of God and some of the stuff we might need to take. You might want to take that little thing, put it on top of there and say, it reminds me what's going on. And God, help me to put these things into practice and help me to look intently, and I like this, into your perfect law, verse 25, that gives freedom. A law that gives freedom, we don't think that way typically. We think laws take away freedom. The truth is, the Word or the law of God says, hey, in walking in this way is true life and true freedom. Outside of here, it's not going to be healthy for you. This is why He tells us to do certain things. Interact with Him. Interact with others. This, the Word or the law of God, helps us, gives us freedom and life. Doesn't take it away. We're blessed by what we do. Okay, I'm going all the way down. Live the Word with visible faith. Okay, here are some examples of how we are to live this thing. Verse 26 and 27. Now, those who consider themselves religious, church-going, Bible-believing people, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. There's that word again. Whoa. And they're religious, all of their Bible programming, podcasts, NIV, HI, no, all of your ESVs and all of those things, okay? You were paying attention. So proud of them. It says that stuff's worthless if you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue. Now, James comes back to this, and he hits his hard later in this book, right? So I'm just telling you, but he's setting this up here. Then put a tight rein on your tongue. Your Bible reading is worthless if it doesn't affect how you speak. Verse 27, religion that God or Father accepts, okay? All religion isn't bad, by the way. Religion, okay, a way of living out the things that we believe our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to do what? To look after orphans and widows in their distress. Okay. Taking care of the most vulnerable people. Taking care of people who are most prone to being taken advantage of, to be marginalized, to be misused, to be not able to be on top of the hill, whatever hill that is. Hey, if you want to really put your religion into practice, take care of orphans and widows in their distress, and also keep yourself from being polluted. There it is, polluted by the world, being in it so much that it becomes a part of you. This is how we are to practice things. Okay, so let's just talk just a bit. Keep a tight rein on your tongues. Is that easy? No. Right? This echoes places like Proverbs that says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21. Jesus said, I put some of these in here, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. So James is not saying our words create our hearts. He is saying our words reveal them. Okay. Reveal them. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever said things that you want to take back? Unfortunately, sometimes it's a daily reality. And it hurts me because I hurt my wife, a person I love, or I hurt my kids, or I hurt a coworker, or I hurt the name of Jesus. I hate them. So what does it tell me? Dave needs grace. Dave is still in process. Sometimes we get it right, right? Sometimes we don't. We need grace for each other. I want my love for Jesus to be so evident that every word I say is something that he would say or that would honor him. And sometimes, y'all, we got some nasty words. And I'm not just talking about swearing. Okay? I'm talking about the attitude or the intent behind it. I'm not talking just the verbal stuff, but some of the stuff y'all write. I'm just being honest, right? If our religion hasn't impacted to the level of our speech, we're deceiving ourselves. If you're speaking, you know, praise God out of one side and then to the cashier or to your parents, to your teacher, to your boss, just fill in the blank. God, help us to be people that just that know the word, but more importantly, live the word. How we speak matters because it reflects our heart. Second, how you treat the most vulnerable people in your life matters. A good rule of thumb for people who are dating. Oh, our daughter got engaged. Yay. It's a good man, if you're watching. Good man. One of the things you tell him in dating, good rule of thumb, don't pay attention to how he treats you. Pay attention to how he treats the waiter. Hear me. How does he treat his mother? Come on, moms. How do you treat people who are a couple steps down? You understand what I'm saying? Hey, if your Christianity is real, how do you treat the people that will never invite you back to their house? Don't drive the nicest stuff. Don't live in the nicest neighborhood. Don't have the best education or teeth or fine beard. Just kidding. You understand what I'm saying, right? That's where the rubber hits the road, right? That's why we give to places like Jamaica. People that are suffering. This is why we send stuff to certain places. This is why we embrace all people, especially those who are going through stuff. It's hard. Why? Because we're trying to live it out, helping the most vulnerable among us. We have opportunities here. You're going to hear some more opportunities to help people. Just widows and orphans. That's just a collective group that often they're the most vulnerable, in particular in that society. Right? Also in our society, but there are many people who are vulnerable. How do you interact with them? Quick to listen. Don't say, oh, I interact with them good. Chill out a little bit. Where are you at? When's the last time you remembered the janitor's name in your office and took them a cup of coffee? When's the last time you remembered your waiter's name or whomever? When's the last time you thought about, hey, where is so-and-so? Understand? We as a people of the word, we want it, it must go beyond our knowledge into our living. Pay attention to your speech. We are to live the word with visible faith. Okay. A lot more stuff in your notes. Read it. So again, the question I'm looking, James is pointing to, is not, do you believe the word? It is, what happens to God's word once it reaches you? Do we stop hearing? Do we stall at agreement? Does it break down in argument? Or does it move all the way into our hearts and then is reflected in speech, in our compassion, in our lived holiness, likeness, right? Faith that listens. We want this type of faith because it's true. Let's continue to move that way. So God, thank you for these precious people here. So encouraged on a very cold day. We're here. Extra excuses not to be here today. So grateful, God, that we had to cut it off when we were talking about verses. Because so many people said, yeah, this one. That's the one that sustained me. That's the one I'm living for. So grateful that this is and has been, by the grace of God, will continue to be a word-formed community. And God, I want to be honest. You know me. You know us. God, you know sometimes I rush through where I think, yeah, I know that. I just skip on through and I'm not quick to listen. I'm sorry. And Lord, will you gracious with your spirit us in this room who are connected to this place, God, listening online, will you gracious with your spirit that our posture to your word when we look to it would be one of humility, of teachability, being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. God, may this place, and you know that that's kind of the dream we talk about, be a greenhouse where your word gets implanted in us. And that we as individuals, but as a collected community, when people would come in here, they'd like be coming to, like, into the conservatory, right? And that there'd be all these plants and beauty and wonder and strength, because people have just been living it for a long time, and it's grown, and it's grown. God, I'm so thankful for so many friends here that just live it so well. And they would say, yeah, not perfectly, you're still trying. Yeah, I get it, but they do. Grateful for the strength that perseveres in times of trial and suffering. I'm grateful for a gracious response to hard words that speak. I'm grateful for the consistent steps in a Godward direction for a lifetime at work through their co-workers or in their family. So God, will you make us beautiful like Jesus? Every pew would be filled with a person who radiates the word because we listen. And God, you know we need help. I first need help. God, we need help. I'm praying for my friends. Do that here. Not perfect, we're flawed, we fall down, God. But you encourage us to get up, to look again. So thank you for my older friends, God. Reflect and love us and lead us. Thank you for our younger folks, Lord, or just coming in and learning. Thank you for my companions, God, that we're still running. Help us to grow in these ways so that the nations would be glad. Our neighbors would be glad. And their lives would be fruitful because of your working in us. So do it, God. Help us to live these things, to look into the mirror, to reflect you as you reflect the truth. Thank you for your goodness and your power and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.